Phil Hendry.
Good evening, the Phil Hendry Show, and philhendryshow.com, and to the future we go, holding hand in hand the contents of the Phil Hendry Show. Anyway, a reminder, our show, of course, tonight, very nice to see you guys. We're on till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Tonight and Monday night will be the final nights that we have our day part, if you will, the starting time being the 10 p on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast, because as of Tuesday, we go to 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. As of Tuesday, the 25th, we begin at 7 p.m. And I know that doesn't disturb anybody around here, huh?
Man, I tell you, that's going to be real good for me, you know, if I don't want to sleep in.
Yeah, I don't see any downside to that other than the fact that coming home at night a little bit earlier, I think there are more... The alcoholics, the drunks, you know.
Yeah, well, they're going to be on the road later.
No, they're not. That's just it. When I'm driving home at night, the roads are relatively clear around 1 a.m. It's at 10 p.m. that you see the alcoholic, you know.
The alcoholic, not just someone that's drunk.
Well, anyone that drinks and drives is an alcoholic.
Wait a minute.
No, no. I've done a very careful study. Anyone that drinks and drives is an alcoholic. You understand? So that I've done a very careful study of this.
All right, Margaret. I'm not in any mood to get into an argument with you right off the bat. I would take exception to that.
Well, so you, but you don't want to argue with me?
No.
Then why are you giving me a hard time?
Well, you have a right to make an opinion.
And why are you giving me a hard time? Boy, all I said was, if you drink and drive, you're an alcoholic, and now the three of you are ganging up on me, and there isn't another man in sight, and it's a blind alley.
Huh?
It almost makes it sound like we're trying to touch you in an illegal manner.
That is, in a figurative sense, what I'm... That's how it's feeling to me. I almost feel figurative, invisible hands on me.
Boy, that... I don't know whether that's a mental illness.
Oh, stop, Phil. I'm making a very good point, and you have figuratively touched me in a private area.
No, I have not, and neither has anybody else. I disagree with that, though. I will tell you this. If you get tickets for it... In other words, if you run afoul of the law and you have DUIs, I think you've got a drinking problem. I agree with that. But just the mere fact that you're on the highway and you have taken a drink.
I didn't. I said driving drunk.
Driving drunk, you may have a point.
Oh, well, hey. Woo! Finally given me one.
Well, I didn't. I misunderstood.
We talk about driving drunk. Everybody does.
No, not everybody does. Driving drunk, and I'm glad we're talking about this, because there is a story in the news. Get a load of this story. This is from Lake Powell, Utah, and there are three people, effectively there's three people dead. Two people are missing. One woman has been pronounced dead. There are two missing people, several injured, and essentially what it was a boat out on Lake Powell, Utah, and it was traveling along. At about 10 o'clock at night, so this was last night, according to the authorities that were on scene, the driver of the powerboat that was with these adults got his attention distracted for a moment away from what was in front of him. They say he was distracted by one of the kids moving through the boat. When he turned back, there was a houseboat in front of him. And he tried to avoid the houseboat, and according to, again, the authority that was interviewed, it glanced off the houseboat. And that glancing off of a houseboat results in one dead, two missing, several injured.
So you're drawing, do you think he was going too fast?
I don't know how you hit a houseboat and wind up with three dead unless you are moving pretty good. But I don't want to say, so... And I don't want to say if anybody was drinking.
But that's essentially what we're saying on account of you were saying about drinking and everything.
Well.
Yeah, that's what you're saying, Mr. Henry.
That's right. You know, I don't usually want to gang up on you, but now that the majority seems to have the right opinion.
Yeah, Margaret. That's right.
Well, they do.
All right. Well, all right. So I apologize then. I don't mean to make any reference to drinking or anything else until all the facts are in. But I'll tell you this. Let's forget about that. This is the time of year. Everybody's in their boat. And especially here in California, everybody goes out to the river. If you're in the L.A. area, one of the big boating areas is to go out to the Colorado River. Some people go up north to some of the lakes up north. They're desert lakes. There's a lot of heat this time of year. There's an awful lot of drinking. There's a lot of swimming. There's people that are trying to cool off, and one way you cool off is with a nice cold beer, and that ain't bad. It's when you get behind the wheel of, you know, your multi-engine V-bottom, you know, I don't know what, man, some kind of supersonic jet on the water. And the next thing you know, you've got Charlie there with his T-shirt or his underwear tied around his head. He has the tattoo of either a Wolverine or his favorite character from a video game on one arm. On the other arm, a tattoo of five or six ex-girlfriends. His current wife with the fake breasts and, you know, maybe a little bit of a butt lift in the back. She's holding onto a cocktail in the multicolored tumbler.
All right, Phil, what, get to the point, will you?
Yeah, what are you saying?
I'm saying these are the people you're going to see out there. You know.
Got a lot of waters there. That's pretty funny. Yeah, well, God, that keeps the sweat out.
It really, tying your underwear? I'm talking about these guys that are hammered, man. Tying his underwear, whatever he's got tied around his head. Who knows? His wife's underwear. You know, and then that same guy, he's got the kids in the boat with him. I mean, it's a disaster waiting to happen. So my philosophy is I avoid those places, and I go to nice, quiet mountain lakes where I can meditate and talk with the gnomes and the elves, and no one bothers me. And we go out in a rowboat, and we read poetry, and we wear straw hats, and we fish with a bamboo pole and a little, you know, and a little tiny fish, no big game fish, just little tiny fish pop out like in a cartoon. And
yeah, what else is popping out? What else is popping out?
Well, you walked right into that. You teed it up. He hit it out.
Yeah, okay. In other news, here on a world-famous Phil Henry show, so we gave you the show news, and that's just part of the show news, which is on Tuesday night. We begin at 7 o'clock, so brand-new day part, if you will, or brand-new start time, or brand-new show time for the Phil Henry show, 7 p.m. on Tuesday night. The other news that we have for you is we're going to be starting out with Comedy Gold on radio. We're going to have Comedy Gold on Phil TV the second week, so we will feature the best of our Saturday night show, which was our local Los Angeles show. A lot of you have not seen it. We will have best ofs of that on videocast during the second week. And we're going to be putting together our, making the finishing touches, if you will, on our broadcast array. It's really exciting, I got to tell you, and it answers the question. So many people were saying, you're getting out of radio, you're getting out of terrestrial radio. Well, we would have, were it not for the fact that we decided, you know, we can syndicate our show as well as anybody else can, you know, ultimately. And we're going to have far more control over what we want to do with it, how we want to market it, et cetera, et cetera. So that was the decision that we made, and along with Ron Hartenbaum and all of the great people that have put Stephanie Miller on the air and Tom Hartman on the air and Mike Malloy on the air and people like that, and the Sexy Liberal Tour, which is not saying that I'm a sexy liberal. It is not even saying that I'm a liberal. I am sexy. Well, to some people.
Yeah, sure.
Well, in any event, we're very, very happy to be in business with them. All right, so there's a bunch of stuff that's happening along with that boat accident. A lady fell 60 feet down a cliff. Why? Because she was texting. That's what they're saying anyway. She was texting on September the 17th. What the hell is this? September the 17th. She walked close to the edge to discard a cigarette butt. She slipped on wet grass and fell. She was in the rocks between the boulders, and she was calling for help. She was screaming in agony. And these are just these accidents that happen out on the lakes and the rock faces and the, you know, whatever, man, during the summertime. And the beaches are beginning to get crowded out here at the El Pacifico. People are, man, they were piling in today. Did you see it?
Yeah, it looked like a lot of people out there.
A lot of people out there. The lifeguards are out there. They're busy. And, you know, there's a lot of surfers out, especially where we are. There's a lot of guys with their surfboards in the morning. By the middle of the day, they kind of clear out, and then they're back in the evening. So the people who are just swimming and having fun pretty much have the place to themselves. But in that, there's a little bit of a crossover period between the time the surfers leave and they're out of there and the other people are there. And you don't want to run into one of those guys. You don't want a surfboard that'll just go sailing right through your head. You know.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean.
Through your head.
Well, if what happens is.
Yeah, you get out there and the guy's on a surfboard, that thing go right through your head. Lickety split.
Yeah, probably will. I'm just kidding about that, but you don't want to get hit by a board. You know.
I thought they had those things tied to their legs. Do those things ever drag them to the bottom or anything?
surfboard's not going to drag it to the bottom. It's going to stay afloat. They have them tied. They have a leash around their feet, around their legs, but sometimes they get loose. All right. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll give you some more details on that thing. That's kind of a sad deal on Lake Powell. Greenville, North Carolina, there was a Walmart where somebody opened up, and I don't mean a checking account. anyway, U.S. charges Eric Snowden with espionage, so he is going down for the count. He'll be in prison and before a firing squad before you can say boo. And Aaron Hernandez could face an NFL suspension without even a criminal conviction. What does it all mean? We'll be back to tell you here on the world-famous Truth Is Our Bitch, Phil Henry Show.
Truth Is Our Bitch, The Phil Henry Show.
We're going to be talking here in a few minutes on the program to Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley. They have a boat, I believe, up on one of the lakes, Lake Isabella, right?
Yeah, talking about Lake Isabella, which is up there.
Yeah, Lake Isabella is up near Fresno, California. It's north of us here. There's also Bass Lake up in that general area. They're going to be talking with us. I believe that they have, if they have not already begun traveling up there.
What are you trying to say?
Why?
Well, you
I gotta get it together, Timmy.
You know, I'm gonna have to have a meeting with you guys so that when we...
Oh, here we go. Are we doing something wrong? You told us, Phil, to not pull any punches, that you wanted the show to, in your words, shine like a polished brass baboon's ass. Didn't you say that?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
No, I did not. I never said anything. Shine like a what?
You said you wanted the show. Well,
talk about it later, okay?
Either you did or Frank Gray did.
Yes, either it was you or Frank.
Well, then I guess maybe it was Frank.
I thought you wanted to talk about it later.
Fine. Why did you do that, bud?
I'm sorry. I couldn't hold it. I couldn't hold it in. I swear to God, Mr. Henry.
Why did you do that after I've told you guys a million times? Why?
I didn't do it.
I know you did. Why did you do it?
I swear to God, I couldn't hold it in. I swear. I would never have done it if
he was a Phil. The esophagus can be shredded by one of those if you hold it in.
Oh, get out of here. You do it again, you're fired. You're fired. You understand that?
You always threaten to fire him. You never do.
But this time I will fire you. You'll be gone for good. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Why do you tell him that his esophagus is going to be shredded?
I believe I've done a lot of reading, Phil. Dr. Wellcott is very, very clear on this.
Who? Dr. Wellcott? That quack? Isn't that the guy that Frank wound up in the hospital because that guy still believes in grafting goat glands onto people?
Dr. Wellcott has done... Don't call him a quack. That is actionable. That is actionable.
Actionable? You mean, like, maybe somebody's going to put him in prison? That kind of actionable?
No, a civil lawsuit for slander and libel. Dr. Wellcott, I can't believe you...
This Wellcott believes in goat glands.
What are those?
Goat glands?
Yeah, well, I mean, I believe in them, too, in goats.
Very good, bud. Very good.
Yeah, okay, funny one. So anyway, we'll talk to them later on about boating. They may be up in Fresno on the lake right now.
Going Bass Lake, too.
Then why did I say Lake is a...
Obviously, you misspoke.
I had information they were Lake Isabella. Bass Lake?
Yeah. Either that or Lake Isabella.
Where are they going?
They're going to go to Lake Isabella or Bass Lake.
So we don't know where they're going?
No, I do know where they're going.
Where?
Well, you're right, I don't.
Yeah.
Well, what difference does it make? Are they going to be on water?
Yeah.
Are they going to be in a boat?
Yeah.
There you go. Are they going to be going too fast and endangering the lives of people? Probably, because that's Bobby Dooley.
All right, let's just... In any event, we'll talk to them later on the program. Where are they going? Bass Lake, Lake Isabella, who knows? The U.S. has charged this guy, Eric Snowden, with espionage. Federal prosecutors have filed a criminal complaint against Eric Snowden, the former National Security Agency contractor, an outside contractor that I'm sure was bonded and said, oh, yeah, you get the best from Snowden. Snowden and Associates, baby. We do it all for you. You know what? I think I'll just start leaking this stuff. Is his company in business? This guy's a contractor? Anyway, he leaked a trove of documents about top-secret surveillance programs, and the United States has asked Hong Kong to detain him on a provisional arrest warrant, according to U.S. officials.
The Hong Kongians have a terrestrial treaty with us, or not terrestrial.
They're not called a Hong Kongian. Let's forget about what they're called. They have a what?
They have an extradition treaty.
They have an extradition treaty. The United States, well, we'll have to be careful.
I don't know. The last time the Hong Kongian has done
what is with Hong Kongian? I don't think it's Hong Kongian.
All right, Phil, that's fine. You don't have to raise your hands to the sky as if you're supplicating Allah.
It's just, you guys...
Well, what do you call a guy from Hong Kong?
It's Hong Kong, man. You call a cat from Hong Kong a Hong...
A what?
A Hong Kong guy. That's what you call him.
Yeah, that sounds real good, a Hong Kong guy. They laugh you right out of the grocery store. You try to pull that one.
Well, I don't know. Why would you pull that in a grocery store?
Never mind. Okay, so anyway, the Hong Kong government said that it's going to detain him as per our request. Snowden was charged with theft, unauthorized communication of national defense information, the willful communication of classified communications intelligence information to an unauthorized person. You understand, folks, this is all illegal. So anybody that thinks this guy's a hero, whether it's Jesse the Body, Jack Tura, or any other jive-ass, say, conservative who is against this because there's a Democrat in the White House, and if there was a Republican in the White House, they'd be, you know. So anybody that thinks the guy's a hero, just keep in mind, this is a violation of an act, a law, a federal law, which was enacted in 1917, the Espionage Act. It has been good since then. It has been tested constitutionally. It has been used to jail countless enemies of our country, our government, especially during wartime. It has been tried and true, and again, a law enacted during the First World War. And now, all of a sudden, the guy's a hero. How's that work? What kind of world is that? The complaint, which initially was sealed, was filed in the Eastern District of Virginia, a jurisdiction where Snowden's former employer, Booz Allen Hamilton, is headquartered. I heard people, the same kinds of disingenuous, I heard people talking about when this Bradley Manning, this little punk face, was doing his thing. They're saying,
I tell you, this Obama, man. Now, this guy, he's a violation.
What is it? He's a violation of what? So it looks pretty consistent to me, you know.
You're getting too political, Phil.
You know, I'm just doing it.
All right, so anyway...
Yeah, just give the facts and leave the editorial opinion for Rush Limbaugh.
Rush Limbaugh.
No, I'm giving him the French so that we can freshen things up.
Rush Limbaugh. Boy, I'll tell you, that's a new one on me.
Yes, a lot of it is new on you, Phil. It's Rush Limbaugh, not Limbaugh. It's Limbaugh.
Limbaugh.
And this David signed off on that, right?
Yes, he did.
Recently interviewed on the Rush
Limbaugh.
Recently interviewed on the Rush Limbaugh show, a representative of the federal enforcement arm said that Snowden's former employer, Booz Allen Hamilton, is headquartered in a district with a long track record of prosecuting cases with national security implications. After the Washington Post reported the charges, senior administration officials said late Friday the Justice Department was barraged with calls from lawmakers and reporters and decided to unseal the criminal complaint. A Justice Department spokeswoman declined to comment. Snowden flew to Hong Kong last month after leaving his job at an NSA facility in Hawaii after leaking all these documents and basically compromising the safety of God knows how many Americans working undercover and in intelligence around the world. Now he's sitting on his dead can in Hong Kong after he left his place there at $200,000 a year in Hawaii with a collection of highly classified documents that he acquired while working at the agency as a douchebag. The documents, some of which have been published in The Post, and Britain's Guardian newspaper detailed some of the most secret surveillance operations undertaken by the United States and Britain in the history of the planet Earth, as well as classified legal memos and court orders underpinning the programs in the U.S., countless individuals and their locations, the names of people that could be shot right through the brain without even knowing by very, very bad people working for hostile governments because this guy, Snowden, was making 200... never mind.
What a douchebag. Why would you say all those terrible things about Eric?
Oh, it's Eric, is it? Did you hear that one?
Yeah, what all that?
Why call him Snowden? You can call him Eric.
Eric.
Yeah, it sounds like you want to have new time with him.
What's that, bud?
My nose. Oh!
You asked for that one. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. New time with him.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Hey, welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. We're going to be joined here by Bobby and Steve Dooley. They are, my understanding now is that they're at Bass Lake. There is still a little bit of light. Well, no, there isn't any light. They're out pretty much on a darkened lake right now, and I don't know how safe that is. I'm not going to judge anybody, but they are out there right now with the family. They have with them, I believe, Steve's brother, Bobby's brother, Randy, and we're going to be talking to them in just a moment. A reminder that Backstage Pass at our website, philhenryshow.com, that's philhenryshow.com, gives you an opportunity to enjoy our radio show, not only as a audio offering and the thousands and thousands of hours of archive material that we have there, but also as a video offering. Phil TV is a live streaming video cast of each night's show, and we save it into an archive. So if you didn't get it live, you can see it on demand the next day. All of our media is available on a multitude of devices, including your mobile devices, your iPhone, your iPad, your tablets, whatever. So we are compatible with all of those, whether it is your phone or not. You can take us with you live or on demand. So it's a beautiful thing, and our video cast is a high-quality video cast. We use a multi-camera TriCaster. It is a professional operation, baby, run by myself and my colleagues here, Mr. Dick Munn, along with Mr. Leonard and Ms. Gray.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, let's get out to Bass Lake, I believe, is where they are. Bobby and Steve Dooley out there this evening. And I know you guys are doing a little boating yourself. Bobby, how are you?
So, we're doing really, really well, and we're very grateful that you've taken some time to allow us to make our case for the boaters of America. And I know that there's an awful lot of people that don't look kindly on us as sportsmen, and we'd like to change that attitude if we can.
Well, I'm not necessarily indicting you. I don't think anybody would, Bobby, but there's a lot of people... obviously reading the news. Now, can I ask you a question? Are you guys out on the lake now in Steve's boat, right?
Yes. This is my husband. He's got a couple of Evan roots. Very proud of it, Steve. It's a V-bottom. And I'd like to say that I'm very proud of the fact that Steve named it after me. It's the Boobala is what we call it affectionately. Boobala 1, Boobala 2. I've got to get to the back here. Jason, honey, the boys are making some sandwiches too, and having a great time.
Now it's dark out on the. How fast is Steve going?
That's a question that you'd have to ask him, Steve, honey. How fast are we going, honey? It's in. Do you know anything about the nautical? Nautical.
Do I know anything about the nautical?
You know how to speak the nautical way, is what I'm at. Steve, you know, right?
Yeah, you've got to talk nautical, Mr. Henry.
Yes, sir, I know nautical.
I'm going knots.
We're going knots, all right? We're not going miles per hour. We're going knots per hour.
No, it's not knots per hour. You're knots.
Steve's been saying that all day. I'm knots. No, you're knots.
No, one thing we're not. We're not at knots. We're not at knots.
We're not at knots, very far. But I would say we're going about, I don't know, it feels like we're going 100, but I know what we're not.
Well, you can't be going 100 miles an hour. I mean, that's going to be very, very dangerous. How fast do you think you're going, Steve?
What?
How fast do you think he's going?
Well, we're going, there's nobody out here, Phil. It's at night, so... What are you getting at?
I'm asking you how fast you're going. you know, I know that there's nobody out there, and I know that it's at night, but in case there are people going back and forth, because I know there are restaurants.
What?
There's restaurants out there, aren't there?
Hold on for a minute, Steve, honey. Slow it down, will you, for God's sake? Slow it down, for God's sake, Steve.
What?
All right. Phil, what we're doing probably, there goes, oh, look at that, there goes Jack Dugan. Hi, Jack. Hi, Jack, honey. There's Jack Dugan is out here. Clem Navis and his wife are here. Good to see them. And there's a lot of people. How fast are we going, honey?
Mr. Adler, we were going knots per hour.
I know you were doing knots per hour. I understand that.
That's the way that you got to say it.
Sir, I understand that. My father was a sailor.
Well, that's slightly different from what we have. I'm sure you're a sailor, but...
Our boat has an engine in it, Phil, okay? An engine in it, okay?
Yeah, I understand.
So it's not a little sailboat or anything. What are you doing?
I want to turn it on. No, I want to turn the boat around and make it go the other way now.
Steve's turning it around. We're going to go back to the cabin now.
Okay. You still haven't told me how fast you were going.
You want to know how fast I was going? Watch this one. Yeah! Woo! Look at, turn it.
Look at this. Oh, it's so beautiful tonight, Phil. It's the moon and everything.
See, I'm very, very worried, you know. I'm very, very worried that you guys are... Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you fine, Phil. I just opened it up so your listeners can hear the kind of thing that what I do. That boat, it's got guts. It's got guts to burn.
We like the boobala if God gets to burn, Phil.
All right, but you understand that the reason why we're talking with you tonight is because of safety issues.
We totally understand. So I'm the mother of three boys, so I don't need to be reminded of how very, very important it is to have the safety of the boat, you know?
Yeah, we're very safe about it.
All right, to that end, how fast would you say you were going, Steve?
Oh, we all got talked about maybe plant that nut. Or something like that.
20 knots?
No, I didn't say 20. I don't look at it as knots, even though that's... There is no boats.
Okay, Steve, it sounded to me like you were going at excessive rate of speed.
So, I don't think you're qualified to judge that.
Here, let me do it. I'll do it.
I do it, Steve.
On the boat. On the boat, I do it. I'm the man, and we're on the boat.
All right, you're right, honey.
Mr. Henry, I don't think it's right of you to tell me that I was being... You know, I don't think it's right of you to say that.
I didn't say anything, sir. All I said was, it sounded that way. If you could tell me...
Well, I don't see any badge on you, sir, and I think that's one of the problems what we're having. If I could just say this, Mr. Henry, one of the problems that we're having, I think, is that we have a lot of people are sticking their noses where the nose doesn't, you know, where the nose would never want to be if it was just making its own decisions. And,
I don't understand what that means.
I want to jump in here.
Uh-oh. Ms. Gray, my wife has said that she will not be on the radio station when you're also on it.
I will hang up if Margaret Gray is allowed on.
What a...
Excuse me?
Nothing.
Okay, Steve, so you don't think I've got the right to ask you how fast you're going? You're right, I'm not a cop, but I want to say, it sounded to me like you were going an excessive rate of speed. And to that end, I think you have to be careful.
That was not a... Here, I'll show you an excessive rate of speed. Check it out.
Oh,
I think I'm going at an excessive rate of speed now. Look at that. Yeah.
Oh, God. When Steve does this, I really feel like I'm 17 again, and I'm looking at it for the first time. And I can't stop my thighs from quivering. Steve, stop it, honey. You're making mommy all excited when you do that.
Mr. Henry, I know you think I'm going at an excessive rate of a speed, but I'm not. I'm only going about, I don't know how fast I'm going because the speedometer is broken, but there's no boats anywhere, I can assure you. And I can also tell you...
What's that?
What's what? I don't see...
What happened to the phone call?
I don't know. It went dead. All of a sudden, the line went dead. I was listening to it, and now I'll say...
I understand what happened, because I heard it, too. Do you hear that?
I heard it, but I can only hope, I can only pray that God answers my prayers this time.
Well, I don't think that's very funny, Margaret, if you want my honest opinion, because I don't know what the hell happened there. Robert, you got an idea?
I would say I don't think anything serious happened because I'm not doing the line one, but I'm not sure.
What? Nobody can understand anything you're saying because your lips, well, I don't mean to say your lips are too, ow!
Shut up now. That'll teach you. I want to get them back on the line. Call them back, please.
I'm attempting to redial now, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. We've had boat accidents, and we're talking about this, that, and something else, and we've got a lady falls off a cliff because she's texting, and I don't know what the hell else is going on, so I certainly don't need, I don't want anything going on that's anything happening on our radio program that is the result of excessive speed and people getting distracted by being on the show with us. That's the thing that bothers me. All right, 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, we're told that Bobby and Steve... Are you there, Bobby? Bobby and Steve, are you there?
No, we're here. We're fine, but the fog kicked in pretty, and we're going slow. The fog kicked in, and I took the phone, and I threw it into the lake, and I apologize to my husband, Steve, for doing that, but I got very nervous, honey.
My wife threw my phone. I've got to use her phone. And okay, so fun for her. And I'm trying to make my way through the fog now.
Well, Bobby, so you hit a fog bank, and what did you do? You threw the phone?
I hung it up and threw it. Because suddenly we've rolled into a fog bank here, and it's very slow going.
Hey, Mom, I'm going to get out of here.
No, the boys are frightened because they just saw the John Carpenter movie the other night on TV, The Fog.
Yeah, about this thing.
Come on, Mom.
No, there's not going to be any... The boys are frightened of the ghosts of sailors.
That's a good foghorn.
Well, the foghorn is supposed to tell you... Mr. Henry, could you tell us what the foghorn is for? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I hate to sound like a jackball, but what is foghorn for?
What is a foghorn for? The foghorn is to tell you that there are obstacles. Okay, there's fog and there's an obstacle. Wherever you hear that foghorn, you can be sure that there's an obstacle.
Well, I thought it was just to tell you that there's fog.
You know there's fog because you can see the fog. The foghorn is going to tell you. It sounds to me like it's getting closer, man.
Oh, it is getting a little bit, but I don't know. Oh, my God, what's this thing about?
What are they trying to pull anyway?
Well, I don't know. You think they're doing a joke or something?
Yeah. It sounds to me like it's a joke, yeah. Did you hear that? Oh, my God, there's a... And then the thing goes dead.
Well, far be it from me to say, but I think that it is absolutely a hoax being perpetrated by that woman to give herself even more notoriety, even if it's infamy. That's how artless and talentless she is. And, oh, forget it.
All right, we'll be right back. We're going to find out if the Dooleys are okay. We'll try to get them back on the line as they are negotiating what has now become a thick fog over Bass Lake in Central California. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Like it's a big, serious thing.
Well.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back. We have reestablished a connection with the Dooleys up on Bass Lake. What's happened, I think, is that there has been a... They ran into a bank of fog, and they voluntarily, if you will, ceased communication, stopped their communication with us. If we can get them back up on the line, bud.
Yeah.
They're out on Bass Lake right now. You still... Bobby, I'm glad that you guys are okay, but when you just summarily disconnect, we're not sure, you know?
We're very sorry, Phil, but we were in the middle of, and still are in the middle of, a very significant fog out here. You can hear the fog as it's drifting in and out. It came rolling in, and that was the part. Steve, you've seen this phenomenon on before. My husband, Steve, has seen the phenomenon on before, haven't you, Steve?
Yeah, the fog, what it'll do, Mr. Henry, is roll in like a... You ever seen it?
Have I what?
Have you ever seen a fog roll in?
Oh, yeah, many times. It just comes in like a big...
Yeah, it comes like a big fog bank, and all of a sudden I saw that, and then I heard the sound that you can hear right there, the fog horn. So we decided, I decided to go ahead and... But I don't know, you know.
Yeah. Hold on, Phil. One of my sons, Justin, what is it, dear? I just saw Sheriff Newtonberg go into the outhouse. Looks like he's going to squeeze one off. Sheriff, I'm sorry, Phil.
That's all right.
One of the boys just saw Sheriff Newtonberg tie off his boat near the, we have these floating, facilities. I don't know what you want to call them. I'm a lady. I don't want to call them...
Well, Doug, that's an outhouse.
Oh, Steve, I didn't want to use that word. The boys are here. But they are floating, facilities for, going in and relieving, your colon.
Yeah?
Well, what's so funny?
Well, I think they're called outhouses. I don't think there's anything wrong with, they're floating outhouses, right?
Yeah, they're floating outhouses. Great, they're very convenient, too, because you tell you, you know, you'll go, and then you can just open up, just let it go out into the lake.
Yeah, that part is convenient.
No, they don't let it go into the lake. No, they don't. They have to come, and they have to, retrieve that sewage, and they have to, you know, dispose of it elsewhere.
Well, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. That's our tax dollars, Phil. It's a lake. Why don't they just spill it into there?
Yeah, it's like a really big toilet.
My son Justin, who's our eldest, just said it's like a big toilet, isn't it? Oh, I know. You know why? No, don't say anything, Phil. On account of the environment, right?
There you go. Hey, good one.
Don't talk down to me, Phil. I understand.
Looks like the fog might be lit, Mr. Henry, you know, and we're out of beer. I gotta get on the file now. Here's the fog bag again.
Well, you have to be careful, Steve.
Yeah, I want to encourage you, Mr. Dooley, with all due caution. Please be careful. You do have fog. You have a very powerful boat there. You're negotiating your way through that fog very nicely now, but you don't want to do anything that is going to, you know, upset the situation. Oh, for God's sake, what's he doing now?
Looks like the fog is up. We're out of here. Yeah, we're out of here. This is great, Steve. Yeah. So, we're heading back to the lake house. We're going to get some beer.
Yeah, I'm out of beer.
Is the fog gone? Is the fog gone?
No, but you know what? We're out of beer. To hell with it. Now, the only thing, Steve, is where's that outhouse that Sheriff Newtonberg went into, honey? Honey, where's the outhouse?
What?
The outhouse that Sheriff Newtonberg went into. U.S.!
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Kind of like, you know, I will try to reestablish contact, but it may be futile.
Oh, my God. It sounds like they ran into that outhouse.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Well, she was just saying to him, where's the outhouse that... What's the guy's name?
His name is Sheriff Hassadale Newtonberg.
Hassadale Newtonberg? He'd been sheriff up there, and he run a lake patrol and everything.
Hassadale Newtonberg? What the hell is... This is Bass Lake, California, right?
Yes, he's a descendant, I think, of many of the Okies that settled in the area. A lot of them were Okies who had come directly from Lithuania.
An Okie from Lithuania. Wow. Hassadir Newtonberg.
Yes. But he himself has lived there his entire... He was born and raised in the Fresno area.
Well, you know, Central California is interesting. There's all kinds of Armenians and Okies and...
And now Lithuanians.
And now Lithuanians. How you doing, bud?
I am still trying to raise him. Hello, Boobala 1. Hello, Boobala 1. This is offshore, too. Offshore.
Get out of here. What are you using?
Using my ship to shore.
Just use a cell phone, man.
Oh.
Ship to shore.
Yeah, Bobby Dooley, please. Is this her boat? Oh, sorry, wrong number.
Hey, bud, if you're calling up the boat, nobody's going to... You don't have to ask for her. She's probably going to be, you know...
Well, you know, as much as I think Bobby is a disgrace as a woman and is a walking embarrassment and most likely probably has... Oh, God, I don't know how many STDs. I shouldn't say that, but she strikes me as a woman that's probably got a regular moist locker filled with all kinds of infections.
Okay, but, you know, that's making me sick.
I hope they're okay.
I hope they're okay, too, for the sake of the kids that are with them, because I can tell you, man, that is not a funny situation. You got him?
Yeah. Bobby? Yeah, Phil, good.
Yeah?
Who's this?
It's Bobby.
Well, you okay?
Well, I thought this one funny, man.
Bobby, you all right?
Hold on. Get the cord from... I'm sorry, Phil. I had an anchor chain around my throat. Get over me. Get over me.
Sorry.
Would you get that off of me? Get the boys in the... What do you call the back end of the boat?
The stern.
You boys go back to the stern.
Mr. Stern?
Not Howard Stern. Go. Phil, we went right through the outhouse that Sheriff Newtonberg had only recently entered and had not come out of for quite some time, so I'm assuming it was a number two. We are right now floating through the area. Is that what you call it, what we're doing, Steve?
And right now we're just, you know, we're just motoring very slowly.
Well, it feels like we're floating.
Where's the sheriff?
Well, I'm getting to that. So we're drifting through or floating or whatever. We're going really slow through the area. And,
Where's the sheriff?
I'm getting to where the sheriff is, okay?
Well, do you know?
No, we won't know till we get to where the sheriff is. Woo! Well, you guys are sick.
Yeah, we're gonna get there, Miss Henry.
Yeah, you guys do that, okay? You guys plowed right through that outhouse that the sheriff was using. You should have heard it. It scared the hell out of me.
You mean you heard it on the air?
Yeah.
What did it sound like?
It sounded like your boat, is all of a sudden Steve powers it up and then bam, right through this outhouse.
Was it bitching?
Yeah, it was real bitching. You see him anywhere, Steve?
Let me hold up, man. I think I see a way. Yeah, okay, yeah. There's a flashlight up ahead. There's a waving light. All right, Bobby, give him the Morse code for we're on our way and everything.
Okay. One, two. I don't know how to do Morse code.
Give him that list.
I don't know how to do that neither.
Okay, we'll be back with Bobby and Steve Dooley trying to pull Sheriff Newtonberg out of the drink after going through an outhouse, probably at knots per hour. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Sheriff Newtonberg, if you hear me, please call this number. I don't want to put my number in the air.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Good evening and welcome back here to the El Pacifico studios of the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I am Phil Henry, Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, Dr. Ron Tarner joining us this hour to talk about the ongoing UFO phenomena. And I say that because we have more UFO news to speak of. It's nothing of any significance. I don't think they've seen any flying saucers lately, but they do have the British.
Talk about it kind of lackadaisical, you know.
Well, yeah, I do talk about UFOs lackadaisical.
Why?
Because I think they're horse dung. I don't believe that...
You don't... Wait. Do you believe that there are beings...
I'm not going to get into a discussion of it right now, if you don't mind, because I want to just get to our news.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Neal. Uh-huh.
Hey, man. I said what I said, okay?
Well, look, man, all we're saying is, do you believe in a being? Do you believe a being can live on another world?
Do I believe a being can live on another world?
Not a being, a being.
I've said being, man.
It sounded like you said, can there be beings?
No, I understood what he meant.
My name's Bud.
I almost called you Doug. I don't know why.
His name is Bud, not Doug.
I know.
Do you believe in being? Can the beings live on other planets?
I think I've already answered the question.
So you're going to freeze us out on this one?
I'm not answering any questions because I have Dr. Ron Tarner who will do that for me, and I'm certainly not going to get into a debate with you guys, okay? Here's my philosophy. Is there evidence? No. Thank you.
Yeah, there is.
No, there is not.
Yeah. They have people have seen it.
What about the people who saw the guy, the people at your Area 52?
Area 51? What have they seen? They haven't seen anything.
The government is covering it up.
Oh, would you guys please stop with that? The government's covering it up. That's all you got to say is the government's covering it up. If you don't have any proof, the government's covering it up. If the moon's made of green cheese and you don't have proof, the government's covering it up. If Kennedy was killed in a duck hunting accident, the government's covering it up.
Where it?
I'm just saying, that's the go-to excuse. And it doesn't play anymore, okay? It ain't playing. We're getting to a point, thank God, we're getting to a point, and I thought the day would never come, where people are finally getting a little wise, and they're asking more questions of the conspiracy jackasses than they are now the government is saying, wait a minute, you guys with these theories, you know, where's your evidence? Well, the government's the government's covering it up. Will you just come on back to me and tell me all about it, man, when the government stops covering it up? Will it ever stop covering it up? And that's why we have to demand that they release all the thing. A discoid shape is circled in a picture taken at Stonehenge and submitted to the British Ministry of Defense in 2009. The ministry said trying to identify the speck would be an inappropriate use of defense resources. This from NBC News as UFO over Stonehenge, Britain released its last big batch of X-Files. Well, Britain's Ministry of Defense finished up its release of almost 60 years' worth of UFO sighting reports on Friday with a bang, a 4,300-page cache of documents that describe strange sights over Stonehenge and Parliament, and lay out the reason why the ministry shut down its UFO desk 3.5 years ago. Thanks in part to the proliferation of camera phones, the number of UFO reports in the UK doubled in 2008 to 208 reports for the year, said David Clark, a UFO historian, who reviewed the latest files in a YouTube video. Then in 2009, the pace of sightings tripled to a running total of 643 reports by November of that year. Well, that really did put a strain on the resources that the Ministry of Defense had committed to this subject and really led to their decision to finally pull the plug on Britain's X-Files, simply because they just didn't have the resources to investigate these sightings or to look at them in any detail, Clark said, so they just tended to be filed away. That was basically what happened to the Stonehenge sighting. In January 2009, the ministry received several photographs that showed a speck in the sky over the millennia-old monument at, in Wiltshire. I used to know a girl from Wiltshire.
That's nice.
Just thought you'd...
Yeah, that's great.
Millennia over Wiltshire.
Was she British?
I guess so. So anyway... I didn't see anything in the sky at the time because I was focusing upon the stones, the witness wrote in an archived email. Upon uploading them to my computer, though, I spotted the discoid shapes in the background. I'm sure you get this kind of thing every day. However, I'm very fond of my UFOs, so needed to share them. Very fond of my UFOs. That sounds like somebody's got a real psycho problem.
Well...
No, I'm sorry. The ministry wrote back saying that it doesn't try to identify the source of UFO sightings unless there is evidence of a potential threat to the United Kingdom. Trying to explain every sighting would have been an inappropriate use of defense resources, the ministry said. Agreed.
Why do you say that, agreed? See that right there? See what you said right there? That right there.
I say it because I agree with it. I mean, so there's a UFO. So what?
Well, you got to find out what it is.
No, you don't. You don't have to do anything. You can go, oh, there's a UFO.
Well, what kind of people would we be if we didn't want to find out what those were?
You heard what the man said. Unless they know it's an actual threat.
Gotta be a threat. If you saw a disc flying over you, you'd have to assume it has a hostile intention.
I'll go with that right there. Right there. I agree with that right there. A hostile intent.
A hostile intent because I see something flying over my head.
Don't you think at any moment that thing could open up on you?
Especially if it was all... What if it was flying over your head and it was only the size of, say,
Well, like, if it was the size of a key.
If another... a miniature UFO?
Don't get nervous.
I'm not nervous.
Well, you went... Bah, bah, bah. That's what you did.
Yeah.
Yes, if it was a miniature UFO flying over your head, you've got to assume that has hostile intent. What's it doing over your head?
Has there ever been one reported, you know?
Oh, look at you getting all scared.
No, I'm not scared. I'm suffering from insomnia, so I haven't had a lot of sleep, and I'm trying to articulate my answer so that you don't get angry at me, because your statement is just jive-ass to the max. You dig? Okay?
Yeah, I dig, Big Daddy.
I'm sorry. What if it was a miniature UFO flying over my head? Yeah, then I would assume it has hostile intent. However, there's one problem.
What's that?
There ain't never been a UFO reported like that. There's never been anybody who has said, I saw a UFO, it's the size of a key, and it was flying over my head, and only me.
Yeah, okay, you laugh, Mr. Henry, but the day that America got attacked, did you ever see that movie?
No, I didn't see the movie, okay?
Don't know what movie he means.
They're all the same. No, I didn't see it. About something that attacks Earth, and we all get together and we kick its ass, right? War of the Worlds?
Yeah, that one. You see that?
Yeah. All versions of it. Clark said many of the mobile phone snapshots sent in between late 2007 and late 2009, the period covered by Friday's document release, were of such poor quality that it was hard to tell what was going on. Well, ain't that too bad, Clark. The vast majority of cases turned out to have down-to-earth explanations, he said. Here's a sampling of the highlights. A police helicopter crew in Wales reported seeing a cluster of small rotating objects in the sky in June 2008, and when word got out about the sighting, the tabloid Sun newspaper heralded it as an alien army. The ministry concluded that they were Chinese lanterns floating up from a nearby wedding party.
Jeez. Well, they don't know. They're saying that to soothe, so people don't panic.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't like being laughed at, Phil.
Well, I'm laughing at you. Okay, so people don't panic over what?
They think there's going to be an attack.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, we're going to panic over an alien attack.
Are you saying that we wouldn't?
Yeah, we probably would. You're right. The Sun also trumpeted a story.
What is wrong with you tonight? You're stumbling, muttering,
Nothing. I'm just like I said, the insomnia and all of you jackasses, I'm about to go ape. What if I just decide to go get a gun and open up on just you guys? Speaking of miniature aliens, how about if I did just a miniature massacre in here?
How dare you? I hope that there are police listening. I hope that...
Oh, come on, will you? Anyway, the Sun also trumpeted a story about a damaged wind turbine in North Lincolnshire in January 2009, quoting witnesses who reported that bright spheres of light were flashing in the sky when the turbine broke. UFO hits wind turbine, the Sun proclaimed. The ministry declined to investigate, but a journalist at The Guardian said the lights were actually fireworks set off nearby to celebrate some woman's father's 80th birthday. Experts said the turbine probably broke due to an unrelated mechanical failure. A woman in Dorset reported seeing a bright white fireball come through her kitchen window in August 2009. She said the fireball fell into a carrier bag and disappeared in a flash of blinding white sheet lightning. Clark said the report matches the classic description of ball lightning, an electrical phenomenon that is not yet fully understood, or she's schizophrenic and saw the whole thing as a hallucination. Been a schoolgirl and...
All right, we get it.
All right. I'm glad you get it. When we come back, Dr. Ron Turner, he gets it too. He'll be talking about UFOs and why we should welcome UFOs. Welcome them, and not for the reasons you may think. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We're online at philhendryshow.com. Dr. Ron Turner joins us from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado. We have the good doctor on the line with us, along with Margaret here, Bud and Robert. And Dr. Turner, how you doing?
Oh, well, Phil, doing pretty good here on a Friday night. We're very happy it is Friday night, too. I'm going to spend the weekend with my son.
And good to have you with us here. It does seem like kind of a fun Friday topic, the idea of UFOs. And yet, as I mentioned today, Great Britain, the Ministry of Defense, came out with their final report. They released a lot of formerly classified information, basically saying that a lot of it's just a load of hooey, huh?
Well, you know, that's the United Kingdom. That's a different government. They have a different way of dealing with things. And I heard what you were saying there, Phil, when you were talking earlier with Margaret and with Bud about the Stonehenge. That presents a particular problems, I think, for government and the Royal Air Force, and I know a great many of those good people over there. They're very qualified and outstanding aeronautic people. When you have a fixture in your country such as Stonehenge, which represents a sort of a meeting of spiritual, cultural, as well as scientific interests, and of course interests in paranormal, you are bound to have lots of kinds of reports like that. Whether or not the UFO sightings are real in the United Kingdom, Phil, I have no way of knowing. I would suspect they're not.
So do you believe that there's nothing to these over the years, since 46 or whatever it was?
No, I cannot say that I do. The so-called humanoid that was discovered near Roswell, New Mexico, has been explained by the government multitudes of times. This was a dummy of some kind. It was a plastic dummy head. And
you're trying to tell me that you're going to believe that?
And that's Dickman, right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay, let me start slow with you, Dickman.
Well, you have to start slow with me. I understand plenty. And I understand the government's covering up.
No, the government's not covering up anything, Dickman. First of all, there was no dummy head. There was a dummy head. It is not an alien. It's a dummy. And it was the head. What you saw.
I've clearly seen an alien.
But when you say you clearly saw an alien, when you... Hold on for a minute. I got my microphone. When you say you clearly saw an alien, you're looking at something that many Americans have seen, and then and that was because the government released these pictures, and then you're going on what you've heard anecdotally over the years.
What's anecdotally mean?
That means stories, different stories that you've heard, rumors, etc.
Yeah. Anecdotal is, remember the song, Bears Eat Oats and Does Eat Oats and Little Lambs Eat Ivy, a kid'll eat ivy too, wouldn't you?
No.
All right.
What does that mean, Dr. Tarner?
Well, I don't know, but I'm getting to the point where I'm willing to babble something just to get people to back off of me. And when Dickman says, let me start all over again, okay?
All right, what do you want to say about the Roswell sighting?
The Roswell sighting was very clearly explained by the United States government as a weather balloon, and they were using plastic dummy heads or some kind of figurine or mannequin or fake guy is what they had. And for this guy Dickman to be busting my chops every time I come on the program about a dummy head, you know.
Well, you said it was a fake guy.
Yeah, and what kind of scientific terminology is that, a fake guy?
Because that's what that's what it's called. There have been so many questions about this sighting near Roswell, New Mexico, and the explanations that we've given don't seem to sink in. It was a guy that isn't real. It was a plastic model, a dummy head.
I don't understand.
You don't understand what he's saying. I can understand your frustration, Doc. You guys don't know what he means by dummy.
Yeah, I do know, but you're saying you said a fake dummy.
A fake dummy?
A dummy is fake.
Yes, I know a dummy's fake. But there's also real dummies. And I don't want to go any further with that line of reasoning, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh, how you talking about you, man?
No, he's not. He's probably talking about you.
The point is that the dummy that was reported over Roswell, New Mexico, by a dummy, and I don't mean that a plastic dummy head reported another one.
No, we know what you mean, an idiot.
Yes, the first guy to say that there was a Martian that had been put into cold storage by the United States Air Force, as if we've got nothing better to do than to clear out locker space for a dead thing from Mars, use up refrigeration. It boggles the mind.
Well, what if there really was an alien corpse or an alien specimen? We certainly would try to preserve it, wouldn't we?
I have no idea. That's not my line of work. I suppose, but at some point you have to discard the thing because it's going to decay. It's going to then rot, and I don't care if it's from Mars. I don't care if it's from Switzerland. I don't care where it's from. It's going to stink to high heaven.
You don't know, though.
I don't know what.
Well, the point is very good. If it's from Mars, Dr. Tarner, and I understand what you're saying, we don't yet know whether a Martian stinks when it decomposes.
Oh, come on, will you, for God's sake?
Well, that's a good point, though, Dr. Tarner. How do you know?
If it's organic material, okay?
No, Phil, I'll handle this. Hold on, I'm sorry, let me handle this. The Martians, Ms. Gray, have got to be made out of the same thing that we're made out of. They're not made out of us, but...
But if they're made out of rocks or something, like I seen that one time missile to the moon, and it was made out of a rock.
You can tell me about all the Martian movies you've seen, bud. You've already told me about them.
No, it was Missile Moon.
It was a moon picture. It was not Mars.
Oh, a moon picture. Well, then that certainly changes the laws of physics and the matter and biology.
I don't appreciate the sarcasm, Dr. Tarner.
Well, Ms. Gray, I'm trying very desperately to hang on to what's left of my wits over the UFO question. And I will tell you now that if the guy that they found in a balloon, the fake guy, the Martian dummy, if it was real, and if it was a real one, and it wasn't just a dummy head, but a real Martian head...
Well, hold on for a minute. What do you mean dummy head?
The only thing they saw was a dummy head, I thought.
No, they did find the entire Martian.
Not the Martian, but the...
They found the mannequin.
Yes, the mannequin. But Bud was saying they found a dummy head, and I have to keep telling him, whatever he saw, whether it was a dummy head or the dummy's penis. I'm telling you, I'm getting sick of this.
I'm a lady. I'd appreciate you not talk that way.
I'm sorry.
I'm sure if they found a Martian penis, they'd probably try to find out how to make that thing work.
Try to activate or something. Ow!
Whoever hit him, kudos for me.
Yeah.
So what I'm telling you is the Martian will decompose the same way as a human. I don't care what you say. You can't get me to change my opinion, and it'll stink, and it'll stink bad. It'll stink worse than probably a human. There. How's that for some outer space talk?
All we're trying to say...
La, 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 la. I won't listen to it.
All right. Hold on for a minute.
La, la, la.
Hold on, Doc. It's me.
Oh, sorry.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Dr. Ron Tarner. We're going to get to the meat of why we have the good doctor on the program this evening. And that is his belief, even though he does not currently believe that UFOs are anything more, that are anything more than just lights or completely explainable instances of something in the night sky that we didn't initially recognize. He is going to tell us that he hopes UFOs are real at some point. And he'll tell us why he hopes UFOs are real. Stick around for that. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And don't forget, philhenryshow.com is the online resource and site for the Phil Henry Show. With a backstage pass, you have access to almost 15 years of full shows, full three-hour shows. You have no idea, folks. When it comes to radio material, when it comes to the archives of one single radio show, there is no more material anywhere in the world than on our website, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
The Martian that I was referring to is a Martian, yes, but he certainly, because they are developed in advance, doesn't mean that they don't stick to high heaven once they die and start to really rot it up. And if I had one of my...
Phil Henry.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, we're looking at this director that you wanted us to look at, and I'm familiar with his work. We have on the line with us here Dr. Ron. Where's Dr. Turner?
Dr. Turner? Dr. Turner? Yeah. The disconnect? Okay. Line one.
Dr. Turner, hi, sir. I'm looking at... Did we disconnect it from you?
No, Phil. I'm in the car. I'm on my way down to a 7-Eleven. I just want to pick up some root beer.
Okay. Are you at the observatory?
Yeah, but we've got one of the students is right now in the office monitoring.
All right. I've got the name of this director, Mario Bava.
All right. There you go. Mario Bava. Now, this is a guy that was an Italian director, and he specialized in he was a painter originally, but he went into science fiction. And was quite acclaimed as a director of different science fiction movies. And hold on for just a minute. Yeah, this isn't the channel. Put it on where they got the stock report, man. Before I flip. Phil, I'm sorry. I'm with one of the lab assistants, and he's. I wanted to listen to the ball game. And what are you listening to? It's Joy Brown. Put it on the ball game, will you? Before I kill somebody around. I'm sorry, Phil. I've got a couple of the assistants. These are students from University of Denver. They're very intelligent young men, and they have been instrumental in helping us in some of our research in the laboratory. But when I tell you guys that I want a ball game, I don't want to listen to this, Will. Dr. Joy Brown, I would rather pull my own eyes out of my head with a... Oh.
Okay. Look, Doc, we're getting sidetracked, and every time I have a guest on, all kinds of crazy stuff.
But here's Mario Bava. Now, check it out. Mario Bava did, Vampire Planet. He did the Vampire, Higher Ground, I don't know. He did a bunch of vampire movies. And the reason why I'm bringing him up, he did, look at this, he did Black Sabbath.
Is that the group?
No, it's not the group. It's a movie. Damn, that boy, that guy, Hendry. I don't know why you got that guy. It's not, he drove his motorcycle through a tree, and now all of a sudden you think you owe this guy his life.
How about turning that radio down?
Turn that crap down, will you guys? I know it's Joy Brown. I can't stand her. I hate her guts. Turn it down. Put it on a ball game, will you?
Hey, Doc, you sound like you're really under pressure.
So they try to link up with the Islamo fascists.
Oh, will you get this crap out of me? This is Mark Levine, whatever this guy is. All I want is are the Nuggets on?
The Nuggets? Their NBA Finals are the NBA Finals are over.
Oh, all right.
Okay, so let's get to the meat of the matter here, all right? Hold on, we got a call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over here to a phone call. We got Ian Anderson, little Ian, on the line. Hi, little Ian, how you doing?
Oh, hi. It's nice to be on your program, Harry.
What can we do for you, pal?
Well, I wanted to talk to the doctor. I think he's not right. I'm seeing this right because I've been at Stonehenge. I come from England myself. I'm also from the Wiltshire area.
You come from the Wiltshire area?
Yes, sir. Not Wiltshire, but Wiltshire.
No, I understand. Wiltshire in England.
Yes, sir.
So you've been around Stonehenge?
Oh, yes, sir. I used to go to Stonehenge all the time. Right? And when I was younger, we'd go there, and we would do Wicca or different Wiccan festivities and different Wiccan rituals, right? Because that's what I was into at the time when I was younger. It was also some goth sort of things like that, right? So anyway, I was there one night, and we were, you know, just sort of pissing about, right, and not doing much of anything, right? And we saw, like, what looked like probably a big flying saucer is what I saw. It looked just like a flying saucer, it did.
Yeah, it looked like a flying saucer like the ones that you see?
Right, it looked just like one that they see. It was all round and everything.
And let me guess, did a green band get out of it?
Well, no, it's not a green man. I'm not trying to say that it was all, you know, everything that you think it is, because it's not, you know? It was more like a big silver giant man who comes walking out, right?
Uh-huh.
And that's why everyone believes in it. And if you don't believe in it, well, that's your business, but you're lost, too, because you should come with us and see what the Martians look like.
Well, let me ask you something, Ian. Do you still go to the Wiccan festivals and things like that?
All right, we go on the equinox. We've got one coming up real soon, like almost like tomorrow, I think. It's like the first day of summer.
Right, right. Well, isn't today the first day of summer?
Well, no, technically I think it's tomorrow. So you're going to the summer equinox?
Right, yeah, I'm going to go to the summer equinox. We're going to go and look for UFOs and take some pictures and things like that.
Well, I tell you what you do, Ian. If you see any, would you send the pictures to me?
Yeah, I know you don't believe me. I know you're making fun of me. It doesn't matter to me. Because when we see a Martian, when we see like UFOs, we'll be able to make contact with them, and they'll do the things that we want them to do. And they'll do the things that we want them to do. And they'll be under our control. And they'll probably fly one over to America, where you are, right? And probably blow you, just blow you up, or whatever we want to do.
Well, I hope you don't blow me up. I would really not dig that.
Right. Bugger off.
Watch the language. Watch it. Okay, sorry about that, Dr. Tarner. That's a call. Let's talk to you. Tell me your theory on UFOs and why you wanted to come on a show tonight.
Well, Phil, the reason why I wanted to come on the program tonight is to simply say the following thing. I know people think I'm taking a hostile. Would you turn that garbage down before I blind myself? What is that crap?
Hey, Doc, you're on air with me.
Sorry. Oh, are you listening to this stuff, Phil?
Okay, if you can't talk to me.
All right, never mind. Here's what I think. I would be very. Turn the channel before I kick ass. Turn the channel before I kick someone's ass. Turn the channel before I kick your ass. Thank you. Phil, I believe that the UFOs, I hope and pray to God they exist. I hope and pray that UFOs do exist. And I hope that when we discover that they exist, that they are superior to us, and that they want to either exterminate us or enslave us. And I am not kidding. I am not kidding. I published this last month in the Astronomy Digest,
I've taken endless amounts of guff for it. I've taken endless amounts of stuff for it. But I stand by my article that I hope UFOs exist. I hope they're superior to us in intelligence. And I hope they enslave us or exterminate us.
Okay, now why?
The reason is simple. The recent UFO sightings, non-sightings, ufology, the anecdotal or non-anecdotal, as Margaret's been calling it here since the late 1940s, of extraterrestrials and UFOs, the ad nauseum reports, and I will also quote the British government, the enormous expense that each government has been put to in having to document this folderol and flummery. I think bespeaks something only negative of the human species. It bespeaks something that I think does not speak well for us. And I think there's only one solution and one answer for us. Please, dear God, let there be UFOs. Let them be piloted by superior beings who want to eat us. Eat us. Okay?
All right. Bud Dickman.
Thank you very much. A question for you, Dr. Tarr. You say that you hope the UFO is populated by intelligent beings. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
All right. And you want them to enslave us. Now, wouldn't that mean that essentially we have the numbers and that we could do anything we wanted to in their industry to subvert them?
Yes, that's a good... And I have a question, too.
Well, I do want to follow up.
Okay. Maybe you're not hearing what I'm saying, and maybe it's because you don't want to hear what I'm saying. I'm asking you to open your ears and to clean the wax out. And in your case, Dickman, there must be barrels of it in there. Are you hearing me?
Yes, Doctor, I am.
Is this guy for real or...
Just answer his question.
All right. I said, Dickman, that I hope UFOs exist, that the beings inside are superior, and that they decide, instead of enslaving us, they decide to cook us and eat us alive.
Okay. Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you very much, Dr. Tarr. It's great having you with us tonight. So you're saying that you want the aliens to essentially exterminate us. Is it really possible to exterminate humans, even if they were to eat us and cook us? Now, I'm assuming there would be the eating of living humans would be very painful for us and would cause massive resistance on the part of humans. Do you think the aliens are capable of putting that resistance down?
Yes, I do. I think they could put it down by just looking at us. They could look at us and we'd die. At least that's what I hope.
Yeah, but you don't know.
What do you mean? What does that mean? I don't know. The aliens that are going to come here, that I hope to God come here, could kill you, Mr. Dickman, by just looking at you and winking.
All right, I got a follow-up on that.
I'm not done yet. You know, I'm not giving a press conference here. I'm wishing for something to happen. I hope that the aliens that come here look at you, Bud, and you, Margaret, and you, Robert, and wink, and the three of you burst into flames. While you're still alive, you'll die after having burst into flames.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Tarner. Robert Leonard.
Thank you very much. Dr. Tarner, again, a very great pleasure.
Hold on for a minute. I got to ask something.
Let them get the questions out because we're almost up to the break.
Oh.
Thank you, Phil. Dr. Tarner, my question is this. If an alien looked at me and I burst into flames, that's one less human being that he can eat. I would imagine I would be nothing but ash. Please comment.
The aliens wouldn't care because there's plenty of humans to eat, and you would piss them off so much that they'd look at you and you'd burst into flames screaming to your death.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, I want to say something, okay?
We got to take a break. We're taking a break. Dr. Ron Tarner is with us. Sounds to me like he's getting a little irritated. I don't know why they're, you know. Anyway, we'll be right back here. World famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk about aliens, the existence of aliens, the existence of flying saucers. We just heard little Ian Anderson say he's seen them. He looked at one that was giant and made out of metal. Sounds like, you know, the day the earth stood still to me, but we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Because
the Phil Hendry Show.
I hope.
Philip, Margaret, that they rape you before they eat you, and that...
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And we're back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here on this Friday night coming into a Saturday morning here on the West Coast, and very pleased to be with you guys. I want to remind you, and we will remind you again at the top of the hour, that starting on Tuesday the 25th, the Phil Hendry Show moves to a new time, 7 to 10 Pacific. That's 10 to 1 Eastern. 7 to 10 Pacific, 10 to 1 Eastern. This is a really a reminder for our listeners more than affiliates. Our affiliates have been made aware of this and will be welcoming us with open arms to that time period. We're very excited about the new time slot, not just because it's earlier, but we think the show is going to be a lot more accessible to a lot of folks. All right, Dr. Ron Turner joining us here from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado, as we've been talking about the existence of aliens. I have to tell you, Dr. Turner, you sound a little bit frustrated.
You know, Phil, I don't think that people are quite getting what I'm saying. I am saying that I want aliens to exist so they could come here and destroy the human race.
Now, why do you feel that way?
I feel that way because I'm disgusted with the human race and everything that it preoccupies itself with, and I think a good alien attack of some kind... I know you think I'm kidding. I know you think I'm saying this for effect. No, I'm not.
All right. Well, then let's proceed on that basis. You really want the human race to be exterminated by aliens?
Yes, I do.
Well, if you really want the human race to be exterminated, why not just advocate that we exterminate ourselves?
Because people will think I'm nuts, okay?
People don't think you're nuts already.
You know something? If I hear from that guy one more time, I'm going to go ape. I'll get on an airplane and fly to L.A. and find him.
Bud, shut up. Is that better?
Well, so far, so good.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to R.C. At Bradley in Altadena. R.C. along with Cadet Watson. R.C., how you doing?
Real good, Mr. Henry, and right now, actually, we're not at Bradley Military Academy. We're over at Dina Farbell's house, and she's having a graduation party for some of the girls at Skidoo, which is the all-girl academy, as you know, up the hill from where Bradley is, and we're just, you know, our tip of our hats, and a Bradley Military Academy salute to Dina Farrell and all the seniors and the senior grads at Skidoo Academy in Altadena. Alright.
Okay, what can we do for you?
Dr. Turner, my name's R.C. Collins. I'm with Bradley Military Academy, and with me is Cadet Watson. And, sir, I have great respect for the things that you've done and all of the outer space things that you do and everything.
Okay.
But I have to say to you, sir, with all due respect, I'm a member of a military academy up in Altadena, California, called Bradley, and it is my fervent hope someday that I'm going to be in the U.S. Army. And I want to be an officer, and I also want to be an airborne.
Yeah, I do, too.
And who are you?
My name is Watson. My name is Cadet Watson.
And how old are you, Cadet Watson?
We're both 16.
16? You sound a lot older than that. Well,
hold on for a minute. I'm not done yet, Doctor.
Please do finish.
Well, okay, I will finish, but some of the things you've been saying tonight are disrespectful of the human species. Like, I'm going to lay down, roll over, and stick it up in the air and point to it and say, yeah, Mr. Alien, go ahead and have at it. I don't think it's going to be that way, Dr. Turner, and I think you owe the human species you don't have to apologize or anything, but I think you do owe the human species, you know, sort of, I guess, a apology or something because of the things you've said.
Well, R.C., I appreciate your question. No, I will not apologize to the human species. The human species deserves everything that it gets, and that will include, in my opinion, a slow cooking death in a some kind of a death ray that's aimed at us by Martians.
Why do you want that to happen, Dr. Turner? This is Cadet Watson.
I think I've already explained that the human race so disappoints me that I hope we get our wish and that we have aliens visiting us and that those said aliens incinerate us in a fire of unimaginable heat, heat that we have not been able to measure ourselves.
All right, well, the thing that we really want to say is, Dr. Tarnman.
My name's Dr. Turner.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Turner. As members of the military, we're charged to defend America's. We're charged to defend the America. And I can assure you, Dr. Turner, and any, you know, I mean, I'm sure they're listening, but let's just say Martians were listening in, which a lot of people have theorized that they do. Okay?
Okay.
I'm saying to the Martians, you go ahead and bring it on in, and sit it on down, and let's have ourselves a little chit chat. And I can assure you, Watson.
I can assure any Martian that's listening to us, or Michael Myers.
Get Michael Myers.
That I'm going to rip your head off, squat over your neck, and go ahead and finish my job for the day. And, you know, anybody that doesn't like it can, you know, just get in line.
So that's how we feel about that, Doc. Your comment?
Here's my comment, guys. You know, I appreciate you want to defend our country. But if you think you're going to tear the head off a Martian and crap down its neck, the Martian will have reduced you to a pile of ash because they can read your mind. Forget it.
Well, I mean,
I just hate the fact that you asses, do you honestly believe?
Take it easy, Doc.
These guys, everybody's been calling up and saying, you don't know what you're going to do. The Martians will eat you. The Martians will eat
Okay. We do appreciate all of our phone callers tonight. We appreciate the conversation.
Well, that was way overdue, Phil.
Yeah, Mr. Aaron, but it's just, yay, way to go, Mr. Henry.
Well, he was getting a little,
Getting a little, man. That guy was out of his mind talking about being eaten and everything like that.
He's frustrated with what he thinks is the stupidity of the human race. And while I might agree at times, the human race can be stupid, it is what it is. We are who we are. We are a struggling biomass trying to do better. And you know what? If you look at the history of the human race, we have done better. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, I think we have, although I think... We've got to get rid of war. We've got to get rid of disease. We've got to get rid of... This is going to sound funny. Brassieres, you know.
Well, your boobs don't sag.
You know, bud...
Ow! That hurt.
I hope so.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. The Martians want to eat you. Eat you.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And, join us online, and when you do, you can watch the show live, videocast going out right now.
Well, what's going out right now? What is this planet of vampires? Oh, for God's sake, planet of vampires.
Wait, well, hold the phone.
That's that guy, Mario Barvo, or whatever his name was.
Mario Bava. Don't be jacking around with the great Mario Bava's name, or Bavo.
Bavo?
He's the cat that was the big-time director, the Italian director who made all those, cool movies.
You don't even know his name. What a jackass.
Don't call me a jackass. Yes, I do. It's Mario... Hold on.
Yeah, you gotta look it up.
Of course I do. Because I'm not as hip to this. What is going on here, man? I'm not as hip to this as... I got turned on to Mario Bava. And I got turned on to all of these movies by my good friend Barry Louise in Washington, D.C. Now, she has turned me on to the greatest of the greats, man. Messiah of Evil, I never would have seen it had it not been for her. Suspiria, never would have seen it if it not been for her. Planet of the Vampires, never would have seen it. And Demons, did you ever see Demons?
That one where everybody gets, like, their face breaks out?
Well, yeah, I mean, their face breaks out.
Well, that's you said.
Yeah, that was made by Argento. Bava and Argento, two different directors. Bava made science fictions, made some horror, but mostly he made traditional films. Not traditional films, but the stories were traditional westerns and etc. He did do a little bit of the sci-fi thing and did this film, Planet of the Vampires, for American International, which was Roger Corman's company. Argento was probably the better known of the two when it came to these kinds of extra-normal or film, fantasy films, fantastic films, sci-fi or horror. And Argento made a lot of horror movies. He made Suspiria. He made Phenomenon, which is like really gone.
I saw Phenomenon, and I was about to write a review on Phenomenon for the Dicklin Syndicate. And I was watching that film, and of course, I know the name Argento. When Frank and I were in Italy, we were in Milan. God, was it lovely. Just beautiful.
Yeah, Italy's I hear people say it's beautiful.
Oh. We went to Milan, and then we went to Florence, you know, and I just imagined myself walking in the shoes of the great painters. But anyway, and I was thinking of Michelangelo, and I was thinking of Raphael, you know. And then comes Argento, and I was thinking, my God, how I'd love to lift him up. And then I saw Phenomenon, and I saw the ghoul in that film, and it was as if my short... they're going to laugh.
No, go ahead.
When I saw the ghoul that he'd created for Phenomenon, it was as if the... I don't mean to be funny. It was as if the back end of my underwear gave way.
What does that mean?
It means I was shocked, Phil. Mm-hmm. See, this is what I mean. Get a mature group of people on this show, please.
Well, Margaret, you know, he's laughing. The back end of your underwear gave out.
Yes, that's a very well-known phrase used for when you are shocked. The underwear split. You've never heard that.
I've never heard of Ms. Gray.
I think you're lying because you want me to look like the baboon's back end, right?
Well, you talk about your underwear giving way.
So, what was wrong with the ghoul in Phenomenon?
Well, first of all, the ghoul in Phenomenon was supposed to be the son, the little boy whose face you never see because he's crying, and then when he turns around, you're supposed to see Ghoul Boy. And I had written the review before I saw the film because I know the name Argento. I know it's a great name. And I said to Angelica Dicklin, who runs the Syndicate, I said, Angelica, just back off of me on this one. Let me have my head on this one. And she made one of those, you know, the two fingers with a tongue through it. Really disgusting. I am, you know what, I'm going to the car for a cigarette.
Margaret, you haven't finished your report. Please sit down.
I don't want any more laughter.
You're working.
I'm going to.
You wouldn't, Margaret.
You told you not to laugh at her.
Well, what does she say? She's working for a woman who gives her the two fingers and the tongue through it. What's that supposed to mean?
Talking about what she said, let me have my head on this one.
But these are grown women in a professional environment in a newsroom working as journalists. And she's doing that? So what happened?
Well, it's good. She wrote the article and everything.
And I'm going to do it myself. I just heard you guys talking about it in the bathroom over the intercom. I'll do it. So anyway...
Okay, well, we're going to have to break here very soon. No, we don't. We've got five more minutes.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay, I'm sorry. I misread the clock.
I wrote a review in anticipation of seeing the film called Ghoul Boy Shows All. And in the column, in the review, I said, wait till you see the ghoul that Argento reveals for us in his forthcoming tour de force entitled Phenomenon. And I went on to describe, well, what it turned out to be, it was a little boy and they put fake teeth that they bought in one of those wax teeth stores and they put a unibrow on him and that was it.
That was supposedly the big ghoul.
That was Ghoul Boy. So in other words, just follow me here. Wax teeth, They pasted a unibrow on him and gave him a head about the size, you know, of a large medicine ball.
That's pretty scary.
No, it was not scary.
That doesn't sound scary at all. Was that the movie with the monkey?
Oh, yeah, that was it. And Ghoul Boy spears a chimp at the end, as if I'm supposed to cheer for that. I would have given anything. I would have given a year's pay. I would have given up all the breast enhancements I've ever had to see the chimp grab the spear out of that ghoul's hands and spear that kid right into the... Go! What are you looking at me like? You're looking at me as if I'm the mutant.
Margaret, that was the way... I like how you get personally invested in these things.
Very much so.
Well, a phenomenon, yeah. But I'm going to tell you one thing about phenomenon. That movie had great moments. Great moments.
Oh, really? Which ones?
I love the whole the dungeon thing. I thought the monkey was ridiculous. There was a thing going on in films and in storytelling, etc., where apes were, where chimpanzees were... this was long before the modern day stories that we hear of chimps attacking humans and creating all that physical mayhem. But this was back when there were, you know, the chimps were somehow, you know, mad and crazy and almost human and plotting murders and all this stuff. So I think he was kind of grabbing a hold of some of that stuff. But I thought there was atmospherically, and anytime you talk about those movies, whether it's Argento or Bava or any of those guys, you got to talk about atmosphere. And Suspiria is one that I recommend to all of you. You must get that, and you must watch it. Again, you must get it.
I don't like the way the witch is and everything.
Don't give anything away now.
Well, Phil, what's the big giveaway? The witch.
Okay. Well, don't say anything.
What about the razor wire?
Don't say anything. Anyway, Suspiria is fantastic. Fantastic. If you look at it, it's a little bit of a cheesoid 70s thing, but not much. Not much. In fact, it still holds its shock and fear value very well. And there are a couple of scenes that are just flat scary even for now. In Suspiria. So check that out. That's a great movie. But Demon Seed, I don't know who did that. I think that was the son of Bava. It's the goofiest flick you've ever seen, man, where these people are getting flyers to go into a movie. They go into this movie, and suddenly in the movie, they're watching, which is a movie about, I don't know, some kids doing some grave robbing, but in the theater, the patrons begin to get infected with some sort of a zombie seed or a demon seed, and they get these large pustules on their faces that explode like ugly boils.
Oh. I'm trying to eat some corn nuts. Do you mind?
Corn nuts?
Man, they never digest. They're going to come right out whole.
Would you shut...
All right, watch it, bud. Come on.
I'm just saying.
I don't need for you to tell me what's going to be digested or not. I'm capable of looking back into the bowl
Yeah, please. Go.
So anyway, go ahead.
Well, I'm telling you about this movie Demon and you're eating your corn nuts. We'll be right back, folks. Let's just forget it. We'll be right back. We've got lots more to talk about on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We told you that the U.S. has charged that guy Snowden with espionage. What else is in the news here, man? Let's see. Fire officials faced a double challenge during a rescue. Not this thing. This Alaska story where the lady fell off the cliff? That's from last September, bud. You and these...
Well, it looked interesting.
We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
It's Phil Hendry's show. During our break on Phil TV, we were showing the trailer for Planet of the Vampires, bud.
That's the cheapest... Are you nuts or something? That is the cheapest thing I ever saw.
That, for the period, for 1965, that's a hell of a movie. That was very good. That's a very good movie. The sets are great, and the story is cool. And I can tell you, in 1965, a flick like that would have scared the crap out of people.
Well, I don't know. Barry Sullivan has always been one of those... sort of B-list. I saw Barry Sullivan at a party one night years and years ago. I was a young woman. I said, Barry, you're great. I love you. I love everything about you. And then he reached out and put his hand very tenderly on mine, and I was expecting it somewhere else. you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, my God, what an insult. That,
Why is that an insult?
It's an insult because I was a young and very attractive actress at the time, and he puts his hand tenderly on mine as if he's some grandfather and says, thank you very much, dear. And I was, you know, when I first met Frank, Frank came at me like a man. He gave me a good, healthy squeeze right, well, I'll point to it.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, stop.
Let me ask some. Why did you point to it and not mention it?
Because the FCC, you want me to say it? I'll say it. Right on my...
No, don't say it. Don't say it, okay?
God, he did that?
Oh, don't, no, don't you dare disgrace or libel my husband. He's a gentleman all the way.
A gentleman all the way? When you first met him?
Phil, if you start making a big deal out of this, so help me God.
What? What are you going to do?
I will... I'll do... If you start making a big deal out... Get my husband on the phone, please.
Margaret, you don't call the shots around here about who goes on the air and who doesn't go on the air. I'm telling you. You don't do it. You'll never do it. Do you understand? Finally.
Frank Gray on the line.
Okay, let's bring him up on... Bring him up on line four. He's listening to the same radio show those other guys were listening to. Frank, how you doing tonight?
Hey, who's this, Phil?
It's Phil Hendry.
Hey, how you doing, young man?
Great, great. How are you?
Hey, Phil, I'm better than Custer.
Listen, Frank, we've got Margaret here. She has a question for you.
Frank, honey, how are you doing, dear?
I'm doing great. Jason J. Delmonico just finished her homework, and she's now watching a little bit of TV, and then she's going to go to bed. She's got a football game. When does a football start doing its own practice, or not its own practice?
What are you talking about, honey?
When does the football start?
Hey, Frank, this is Phil. I think usually in August.
In August, okay, because she said she's got practice.
Well, they do some spring stuff. I mean, football is so year-round now, you know?
All right, okay.
Well, hold on for a minute. Since when does Jason J. Delmonico do football?
Since I decided she does football. Now, Margaret, I don't want to argue with you about this. We've had this discussion before. She's my son, and she wants to play football, and I want to go out and watch her play football. It's the fond dream of every father to watch his daughter, or watch her daughter, go out and play.
You know something, dear? You're tired, aren't you?
I am tired because I called my own son him. How do you like that? Boy, that's embarrassing. God. What I wanted to say was, it's the fond dream of every father to watch her son and watch her on the gridiron. Every father out there, she wants to see her son play football. You want to see her out on the field. And this father here wants to see that.
I understand, darling, but he could get injured. I'm worried about the injuries.
Oh, butch up, will you, for crying out loud. She can take it. You know, I want to tell you something, Margaret. When I married you, I said to your father, I said, he is the best woman I've ever met.
Thank you, honey.
But I said to your father, she started to cry a little bit. And she said, well, go ahead. And I said, but I'll tell you something about your daughter, Margaret. He's a little sentimental, and I think it's going to hurt him in the long run. And she agreed. She said, you know, but what do you want? She started to cry some more, and she said, what do you want? He's a girl. And I said, well, you're right. Hello?
I'm here.
Don't pay attention to it. Just...
Okay, hold on for a minute, will you, Frank?
Look, I haven't got all night.
Frank Gray, for those of you who don't know, suffers from a condition called gender confusion.
Yeah, it's from advanced gonorrhea.
Ow!
Shut up.
In any event, Frank has gender confusion. Yay, hey, Frank, sorry, we had a little problem with the phone line.
Oh, by the way, we had the phone company out to the house today, honey, and he told me it was going to be a lot of money.
Who was that?
The person that fixed the phone.
Oh, my God, I think his gender confusion is cured.
Yeah, he said it was going to be, boy, and what a good looking girl he was, too. Big, giant.
Okay, never mind. So, Frank, the question that we have here is, what were we going to ask Frank about?
Well, we were going...
I mean, we were going to ask Frank.
You were suddenly right here in the room with me.
Yes, I was.
Never mind.
Look, Frank, I'm going to let you go, okay? You're tired, and so am I.
Yeah, it's been a long day, a long, long day. I took Jason J. Delmonico over to get fitted for her new football pads, and I had to get her cleats. I had to get her. It's funny about a son, you know, Phil, when you have a son. If you have a daughter, you got to go buy him a training bra, get him panties, get him, you know, a dress, get him the little patent leather shoes that you can see your face in. That's what you do with a daughter. You get him the delicate pink things in life, and then you watch him go to school with his little ribbons in his hair and all that.
Yeah.
But when you have a son, my God, when you have a son, the pride just swells up in you. You go out and get her a jock strap. You go out and you get her cleats, and you get her helmet, and you get her, you know, all that stuff, football pads, and then you go and you get her, you know, motorcycles. You watch her as she tears it up on the gridiron.
That's right.
What are you laughing at?
Nothing, nothing.
Okay, darling. Good night.
Well, what do you push? Why do you let him push me around, Phil?
Okay, thank you very much, Frank.
All right.
Frank Gray.
That guy, that's making me, I'm going to get nuts if I got to hear that one more time. I'm going to go ape.
Well, you're going to have to sit there and take it. Don't you tell me you're going ape. My husband, he's spilt more than you've drunk.
Whatever that means.
Well,
fact is, I agree with Bud. It's after a while, you go bonkers. You're not listening to what the guy's trying to tell you. You're listening to all of this him, her, he, she. You don't know what you're talking about.
Big wow. So what's it to you?
He's talking about, boy, the pride I have in my, you know, buying her a jock strap.
Yeah, all you have to do is substitute her with him.
Yeah, but then sometimes he's talking about him, her, and he doesn't, I don't know.
I think it's just all that gonorrhea if you go out and get a shot.
No, it's too advanced, man. I was reading about that, by the way. You know this guy John List? You remember the guy that killed his whole family?
Yeah, the guy back in, way back when.
That was the man they finally caught when they did the sculpture of him.
Yeah, they did a forensic sculpture of John List, and it was one of the earliest examples of forensic art where they aged a guy, because John List killed his whole family. He killed his kids and his wife and his mother and left them in the house and then split and took off into a new life, got rid of his name, began a new life, and was gone. I mean, he was on the lam and successfully evaded police for like 18 years, and they finally caught him. When this forensic sculpture had been done, it was shown on America's Most Wanted and looked exactly, the artist that did it nailed it. It looked exactly like this guy List. And a woman watching on television saw this sculpture and she said, that guy used to be my next door neighbor.
No, you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. And she called the tip line on that show and they found this guy. He was in Richmond, Virginia, working as an accountant. Well, the point I'm trying to make is his wife, John List's wife, one of the family members that was killed by him, had this advanced state of syphilis. Sure, her brain was gone, man. She had, like, dementia, and she couldn't get around, and she also was partially blind, and she was alcoholic.
Well, that's a cheery little house, isn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Did he shoot her, too?
Yes, he did. All right, we'll be right back with more here on this Saturday morning. It's Saturday morning on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. That John List story, just that holds fascination for me.
Well, you've just recently started talking about it. Now, I want to know something. John List is not related to the people that started the Listerine.
No. Not at all.
All right.
But you talk about Listerine.
That's the bad breath for the bad breath?
Yes, for the bad breath, Bud. You could use a couple of bottles.
Yeah, so could you.
No, I could not. My breath smells good.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it... I just checked my breath in the bathroom, Phil. It's fine.
Yeah, it seems okay to me, Bud. But then, Bud, your breath seems okay, too.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well...
Thank you very much, Phil. Thank you.
No, because,
No, thank you very much.
Could you shut up?
Hold on. First of all, John List was not related to Listerine. And, oh, and by the way, this is an interesting... Listerine, which is the mouthwash stuff, one of the pioneers in dealing with bacteria in the operating theater, one of the pioneers in dealing with unsanitary conditions in hospitals was a man by the name of Joseph Lister. Joseph Lister.
That's a guy that started Listerine.
Hold on. No, he didn't. See, that's the point. Lister and his family have never benefited from, nor, as far as anybody knows, have ever even been asked permission to have their name used on that product. Now, that's the information I have. Now, in this modern day and age, if there are members of the Lister family still around, you would think they would have by now made some claim.
Well, what about the whole public domain thing?
Well, the whole public domain thing is fine. I don't know that it applies when it comes to somebody's name. I do know that certain works pass into public use after a while. You're absolutely right. In fact, we had a question about our films on the Saturday night movie that we show on Phil TV. All of those movies are public domain. None of those films are protected with the traditional copyright. They are public domain. They have passed into public domain, which I think is interesting. Night of the Living Dead is one of them.
The George Romero epic, the George Romero tome.
What do you mean tome?
The George Romero ode, the opus, the...
All right, Margaret, we get it, okay?
It was his greatest work.
Yeah, well, it's public domain. But Lister had nothing to do with Listerine. Nobody in his family had anything to do with Listerine. They just decided, oh, you know the guy Lister? Yeah, he's the guy that, pioneered... cleanliness and, sanitary conditions and, killing bacteria. Let's call it Listerine. Oh, okay, it sounds good to me. Thank you. And that was it.
That'd be like if they called it they call it a Henry. If they renamed a radio, call it a Henry.
What?
What are you talking about, man?
If they renamed a radio, call it, they said, go, turn the Henry up.
Oh, yeah, right, I'm sure. That'd be like if they said, oh, I gotta go to the Bud and take a Dickman.
You're a sick,
come on, take it easy. That's the oldest joke in the books, man.
What is?
Oh, we used to do that with our friends all the time. Like, if you had a friend, Jerry, you'd say, oh, man, I got to go take a Jerry. I mean, that's the oldest,
Well, I haven't heard it, and I thought it was very original. You know what? I do. Bud, is there any Dickman paper?
I hate it. I hate it so much.
I'm just kidding.
All right, quit rubbing it in on the kid, will you?
I'm not rubbing him.
I didn't say you're rubbing him. I said quit rubbing it in.
I'm not rubbing anything in on that.
So anyway, welcome back to the show here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Always nice to be with you guys. Let's see. What have we missed? It's been a day of events. Congratulations again to the Miami Heat for the fantastic thing that they done thang. Now, in other sports news. Oh, and also congratulations to... Have the Blackhawks won? What's the thing with the Stanley Cup?
What's that?
The hockey. Hey, Dan, is that over? Or it's tied? I think the series is tied. It's tied at two. Boy, I remember when the NHL was finished before the NBA, and now the NBA is over, and the NHL is still dragging it out on into June. Would you people already get it over with? It's June, man. There's no ice.
Well, what difference does it make, Phil? It's the modern day of refrigeration. They can refrigerate the... Well, what do they refrigerate?
They freeze the ice. But the point is, it just seems... it seems unseemly. It seems... I don't know. There's something about it that just... It's weird. All right. Aaron Hernandez. There are currently conflicting reports regarding New England Patriot tight end Aaron Hernandez in the recent death of associate Odin Lloyd. Associate. Not friend. Associate. If Hernandez is charged and convicted of obstruction of justice or something more serious, his future in the NFL will obviously be the least of his concerns. But even if Fernandez is cleared or the NFL season starts before he is tried and convicted of anything, the league could very well suspend him for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. Without a quick and total exoneration, there are precedents indicating that such a suspension is not only possible, it is likely. Now, we all know about this commissioner of the National Football League, Roger Goodell, who took over from Paul Tagliabue. Goodell is big on this personal conduct thing. The National Football League is a business. It has these 30-some partners, otherwise known as teams. Yes, the teams are self-owned. Yes, the teams are more like franchises than they are actual components of a larger business. But the fact of the matter is, that's the NFL. It is the big business. In 2007... NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell suspended then Cincinnati Bengal receiver Chris Henry and then Tennessee Titan cornerback Adam Pac-Man Jones for what was deemed to be multiple violations of the league's policy. Henry, who died in 2009 from injuries suffered when he fell out of a truck, was suspended for 8 games for multiple arrests, and Jones was suspended for the entire 2007 season. Jones had been involved in 10 different incidents in which he was investigated by police, including the 2007 shooting in a Las Vegas strip club that left 3 people injured and 1 club employee partially paralyzed. In 2011, Jones was sentenced to a year's probation on 2 felony counts of coercion, which were pled down to 1 gross misdemeanor charge of conspiracy to commit disorderly conduct. Goodell saw no issue with implementing league discipline in either case long before the courts came to any conclusion. And if people want to, again, jump around with this, you know, innocent until proven guilty.
That's what it is, though. They're innocent until proven guilty.
Hold on for a minute. Yes, they are. In a court of law, they're innocent until proven... In a court of law, they're innocent until proven guilty. You're absolutely right. In the court of public opinion, or however you want to call it, in everyday discussion, people have every right in the world to speculate on someone's innocence or guilt. Every right in the world. In a courtroom, it is innocent till proven guilty. When it comes to owning a business, and it comes to ensuring that the good name of that business exists, and that that you are not damaging the value of that business, you have every right in the world to protect that business.
But that's not fair. If a guy, he's innocent until proven guilty.
Get out of here with the fair and the innocent until proven guilty, will you? Imagine yourself being a business owner, and there's some guy drawing, shame and infamy on your business. I don't give a damn whether the guy's guilty or not. How do you feel about that? Some dude's getting busted left and right. I know he's not guilty of anything. I know he's not yet been found guilty. He's not in jail. But the fact is, this cat's running in some kind of company that has him meeting on a very frequent basis, cops. Not only is he meeting them, but the cops are saying, you're under arrest a lot. That tends to have a suppressing effect on the good name of a business. So what Goodell said is, I don't know what you guys are doing, but guess what? When it comes to being involved in our business, your asses are up for grabs. I can't have this, okay? So either clean it up somehow, get away from these cops, whatever it is you're doing, or you're suspended. As it pertains to Aaron Hernandez, here is what Goodell wrote to both Henry and Jones. Your conduct has brought embarrassment and ridicule upon yourself, your club, and the NFL, and has damaged the reputation of players throughout the league. You have put in jeopardy an otherwise promising NFL career, and you've risked both your own safety and the safety of others through your off-field actions. In each of these respects, you have engaged in conduct detrimental to the NFL and failed to live up to the standards expected of NFL players. Taken as a whole, this conduct warrants significant sanction. In April of 2010, Goodell gave Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger a 6-game suspension to start that season, later reduced to 4, though Roethlisberger was not officially charged in the alleged sexual assault of a 20-year-old Georgia college student. He said in his letter to Roethlisberger, I recognize that the allegations in Georgia were disputed and that they did not result in criminal charges being filed against you. My decision today is not based on a finding that you violated Georgia law, or on a conclusion that differs from that of the local prosecutor. That said, you are held to a higher standard as an NFL player, and there's nothing about your conduct in Milledgeville that can remotely be described as admirable, responsible, or consistent with either the values of the league or the expectations of our fans. I agree with him.
Well, you agree with him because you want everything squeaky clean, Phil, and that's not realistic.
No, I agree. No, I don't want everything squeaky clean. No. I'm not telling a guy how to dress. I'm not telling a guy who to love. I'm not telling a guy where to go to have his kicks. I'm not saying anything other than if you own a business, you're a part of a business, and you're trying to make money, and you're trying to appeal to you're trying to engender goodwill between yourselves and the fans, and they got kids, and some jackass is out there getting arrested every 5 seconds, this, that. Every minute you turn around, and here's this guy. Hell yeah. I think it's... are you kidding? What world are we living in now, man, where a guy is supposed to sit there and suck on something like that and watch the value of his business get beat into the ground because some jackball thinks he's got the freedom to run around and God knows what, you know, get into every kind of bar fight, fist fight, gun fight. Every hen house, outhouse, doghouse, every kind of...
That's that guy in a Fugitive.
Right.
That was pretty good.
No, it wasn't pretty good. Let's take a break, okay? Because I can't finish this story because I got, I got too many things. I got too many speeches to make here.
You're getting a little high on the horse there, Phil.
You're all over the hog.
Yeah, quit being on the hog.
Being on the hog.
High on the hog is the phrase.
Oh, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
About what?
I mean, the guy's gonna tell you, you gotta jump in.
What are we supposed to say?
Here's what I say. Welcome back to our program. You know, I know the National Football League, its employees are young men. Not all of them, but the bulk of its employees and the main attraction are young guys in their 20s. Now, if there's one thing that young guys in their 20s like, women, partying, money, and they got it all. NFL players have got it all. You know. Now what are these guys doing? I mean, all you got to do is avoid cops. You know, all they're asking is that you avoid cops. Cops. So in other words, you can party and do anything you want. These guys that are getting sanctioned by the NFL are constantly running afoul of cops. They're either in a gunfight, they're in a fist fight, there's something's going on, and there's cops crawling all over the place. Wouldn't you want to avoid cops? I know I would. I know I did when I was that age. But Dan and I were just talking. If you're in a nightclub, most of this stuff starts over women. By that, I mean, I'm not saying the women are starting the fights, but I'm saying it generally has something to do with impressing a chick or, quote, protecting a chick, or she said something to you like, that guy over there is bothering me. And a lot of these women, man, and I've seen them, these chicks that think it's really funny to get this stuff going, not a lot of them, but every now and again there's a girl... You know, he looked at me weird, and I think, and the next thing you know, and you didn't do anything, and now you got a guy that's 8'10", and he's on his way over to you. You looked at her bad, didn't you? No, I didn't. Well, now you die. Time to die.
That ever happened to you?
Yeah, like a bunch of times.
You have to kick the guy's ass?
No comment.
Kick the guy's ass. The guy's a big gorilla. Yeah, right.
What I'm saying, really? Were you one of these women?
I was not, although I wasn't.
Yeah.
I was not.
Point that I'm making is they're going to get into fights because they're in the VIP there, the club, and they got every kind of money, and they got every kind of champagne, and they're popping corks on all this stuff, and all these really, really hot-looking women, and there are guys coming by, and they're trying to start something. They're trying to knock them off their hill, man. They're trying to knock them off their perch, and it always is about impressing the ladies. So that's a fist fight right there. And these guys are taking that bait all the time. So if he gets these guys suspended and enough of them get suspended, it starts affecting how these football teams are performing, there'll be a serious ass change in behavior.
Yes, but what I don't understand is why are these... I remember stories of the old ball players getting into fights.
Yeah. Well, now they're doing something about it.
Yeah, they're white players.
They were. That's not because they was white. That's racism.
No.
Well, Robert's kind of, I mean, the New York Yankees had a very famous brawl at a nightclub in New York years ago. It was Mickey Mantle. It was Billy Martin. It was a bunch of, I'm not saying it was just because they were white, but back then, most of the ball players were white. So what are you talking about, you know?
Yeah, most of them was white. No, you don't even know what you're talking about, man.
All right, just cool it, will you? I don't want to talk about this anymore. It's boring. Sheep-eating plant blooms in the UK.
Oh, that's exciting.
Well, hold on. The sheep-eating plant Piu chilensis has bloomed for the first time at the Royal Horticulture Society's garden in the UK.
What?
Hold on. In its native Chile, Piu chilensis uses its enormous neon spikes to trap sheep in the Andes Mountains. After razor-sharp spines on the tips of its leaves ensnare the animal, it starves to death and decomposes at the base of the plant, becoming its favored fertilizer. Are you ready for that? It traps sheep. The Piu chilensis has been growing at the RHS garden for 15 years and has reached nearly 10 feet tall. Each individual blossom measures about 2 inches across and contains enough nectar for a person to drink. It is expected to remain in bloom for about a week. And listen, Cara Smith, who looks after the plant at the RHS Garden Wisley, is what it's called.
I'm really pleased that we've finally coaxed our Piu chilensis into flower. We keep it well fed with liquid fertilizer.
Shut up, bud.
I'm just sorry. We keep it, yeah, so she said that we keep it well fed with liquid fertilizer, yeah? You ain't feeding it no sheep there, are you, Cara?
Yeah, bitch, he got a sheep and he stuck it in there.
That'd be bitchin' to watch.
Would you grow up?
Well, if the thing eats sheep, God, that is wild. So, in other words, this thing, it blooms in Chile, and it traps, and it's in the mountains. And these sheep that it traps, are these wild sheep? Because, you know, they have those wild mountain goats. Is there such a thing as a wild sheep?
I don't know.
Yeah, they probably got wild. They got wild everything. Why wouldn't they not have a wild sheep?
Well, I don't know if a sheep is... I don't know if a sheep was created by humans, you know, like we crossbred goats and came up with a sheep. You know what I mean? It's like a dog.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
You don't know. You're just saying it because Mr. Henry said it.
No. No, I read about it.
Now, well, hold on, man. I don't know. But anyway, so it traps these sheep, and the sheep can't move. It starves to death and then decomposes at the base of the plant, and that's this plant loves decomposed sheep. God, what nature is just way out there, man. Way out there. So anyway, it's well fed on liquid fertilizer, said Cara Smith, and its diet, it's all groovy. Piu chilensis is not considered threatened and can still be found in Chile, though habitat loss due to fire does occur. The plant's taste for sheep also prompts shepherds to search for the plants and to set fire to them to protect their flocks. But those visiting the garden don't have to worry about losing their children to the plant spines. Oh, that's ghoulish.
Why would they say... Well, actually, I'm glad they did say that, because what if a child was ensnared and starved to death?
Do you really think that's going to happen?
I don't know, Phil. This is where?
This is in the United Kingdom. A kid's going to be trapped in a plant? No, ain't going to happen.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, little Miss Green Thumb.
Well, Margaret, a kid gets trapped by this? In the middle of a public garden with people walking around?
Well, would you go, if you see a kid trapped and you'd say, oh my God, the kid's trapped, well...
Wouldn't you try to get the kid out?
I wouldn't want to risk being trapped myself. I'd say there's a kid trapped, and if no one heard me, I would have to just, well...
There goes one kid.
Well, yes, the kid, you just... It's one kid, more or less. No? Well, I don't know.
So, yeah, the kid's trapped, can't get him out. Well, what the hell? See ya, kid.
What else are you going to do?
I can't believe that, as a mother, that you would actually...
If it was my kid, yes. But if it's another kid...
I don't even want to talk about it. Like I said, it's ghoulish. Now, the putt... Well, there's the music, so we're all done listening to you talking about somebody else's kid.
I'm just saying I'm not risking getting trapped by this plant and eaten alive.
It doesn't eat you. It fertilizes. It uses you as fertilizer.
And that's an insult.
Go take it up with the plant.
Yeah, go have a talk with a plant.
Ow!
World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by me, Phil Hendry, and Dan Northcraft, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. Grab a backstage pass or forever hold your peace. until Monday at 10 and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. It's Phil Hendry saying, let that be a lesson to you. Remember, on Tuesday night, we start at 7 p.m. New Time, Pacific.
Phil Hendry.